to my heart, shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen. So, earlier we did pray for the Holy Spirit, and I believe that he's here and that he has a message for all of us through our elder Dylan. So, without further ado, I hope you have your Bibles and your notebooks and get ready to really receive the word as we welcome Elder Dylan. Woo!
Wow. Happy to see all of you today. Happy to see everyone here today in church. It's a blessing. Like Jody was saying, you have to believe when you come to church that the Holy Spirit is with you, or the Holy Spirit is here, actually. There's so many other churches you could be a part of this afternoon. Just not even just in First Love, but just anywhere. You could be a part of any church. But God has you here for a reason. Let's just have a quick word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. Or this afternoon, thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. I pray, Father God, that you will keep us, that you will maintain us, God, that you will sustain us, God. I pray, Lord, that as we are coming today, God, speak to us, Lord. Let us not leave church today the same. May we leave with a different revelation, a different understanding. May we increase in knowledge and revelation, oh God. I pray, Lord, that as your word is coming this afternoon, that any plans of the devil to take it and remove it from our hearts will be canceled, oh God. May this word go down deep into our hearts and remain. Lord, I pray for anyone going through a challenging or difficult time. I pray, Lord, that you will be with them, God, that you will cover them, that you will send them your spirit. Lord, the Bible says that your spirit is a comforter. I pray, Father God, that you will send them your spirit to comfort them in this challenging time. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. It's very excited to see all of you. So the past couple of weeks, we're going to just jump right into it today. So the past couple of weeks, we've been talking or learning about anakazo, the Greek word anakazo. Last week, we learned two new Greek words, but we began the series learning about anakazo. Now, what is anakazo? So anakazo, we preached that, we started that message or that topic on June 12th. So this has been a month. We've spent 1 month on just the anakazo message. So we started with what is anakazo or what does anakazo mean? For those of you who weren't here, the Greek word anakazo also means, is the English word compel, right? It also is the English word compel. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, well, Jesus tells a story there about a man throwing a party, and he invited many people and they didn't come. So he told his assistant to go out and to compel the people to come in. To compel also means anakazo. The two words are interchangeable. So anakazo simply means to compel. It means to necessitate. It means to drive, and it means to constrain, right? And then we spent some time learning about how to practice anakazo, right? How to actually practice anakazo. We learned about, what is an anakazo man or woman? What are some of the attributes of an anakazo man or woman? Then we learned about four things you have to remember about others. The whole point of this series is to keep in mind others or to remember others, right? So we also took some time to learn about others. And then last week was the finale, the prelude to the finale. It was on two new Greek words, right? So it was on anadeia and biazo, right? Anadeia and biazo. Anadeia is the Greek word shameless. It means to be shameless. Yeah, to be shameless. And then biazo means to use force. And we learned a little bit last week about what those words are. And I explained last week that, all of us are called. All of us are called to practice these things, right? Nobody should be shy about coming to church and talking with someone. That's why we talked about anadeia last week. And if you remember, for those of you who were here last week, we announced that every Sunday, each and every Sunday, from this point onward is Operation One Member, One Soul Sunday. So what it means is you must invite someone to church. Every member must have one person they're inviting. If you see the people on video right now, you can see in their top right corner, I think, or left corner, it says Operation One Member, One Soul. I'm sorry, it just says One Member, One Soul. So each and every Sunday, you should invite someone to church. You should encourage someone to come to church. You should be shameless about it. You should have biazo about it, right? You should use force. This morning, I was trying to invite someone to church, and I asked him, how old is he? When they told me they were, I reached out to them and I invited them to church, and they told me that, oh, they think they're too young to come to First Love. And I asked them, how old are you? And if they had said, I had a number in mind. If they had given me a number, that number or above, they were coming. But they gave me something below my number I had in mind, so I couldn't invite them, mercy. So, but just to ask them, how old are you? And then to have a number in mind, right? It is to show that you have to be shameless. You have to use force when trying to bring people to church. So next week, I hope to see your one person you invited. And for those of you who were invited today, you know, I hope that next week you will also tell a friend. It is not good to keep a good thing to just yourself. So I encourage you next week to tell someone as well. Amen. So the title of today's message, or a where we are going, what was the point of learning about Anakazo? What was the point of spending 1 month? We began on June 12th. Today is July 11th. So we spent basically a month, 30 days or so on Anakazo. And the point, the whole reason we kept doing this, kept talking about this, what is the point of it, right? It is because God has allowed us, all of us who are here today in church, God has allowed all of us as lay people to work for him, right? So what is a lay person? A lay person is someone who is not paid by the church. A lay person is someone who keeps a regular job, keeps a job in the world, has a profession. Maybe you're a nurse, a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, whatever you want to do. You have a regular job. Church is not your profession. You see, a lay person is someone who, if I read a definition to you, it says a lay person is someone who maintains a secular job or school and yet is active in the ministry. So all of us must be active in the ministry one way or another. The ministry is not just for myself, somebody who may be preaching. The ministry is for everyone. And that is why every Sunday is one member, one soul, because it gives each of us an opportunity to be active in what we're trying to build, what we're trying to do here in the church, right? So what is a lay person, right? I'm going to give us some definitions or some things that lay people are. All of us are lay people. All of us fall into these buckets. A lay man or a lay woman, in this case, is an ordinary person. A lay man or woman is a normal person, is a commonplace person, is a usual person, is a regular person. So as a lay person, you are regular, you are commonplace, you are usual. Like, we see many people like you. But you are getting an opportunity to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're getting an opportunity to do something for him. Amen. And it's a blessing to do, to even be given the chance, or to even be given the opportunity to do something for him. A layman is an everyday person, an average person, someone who is not a professional. Yeah, someone who is not a professional. I am not a professional pastor or elder or preacher. I'm not a professional. Most of us who are shepherds here today are not professional shepherds. We are being trained and trying our best. Yeah, and a lay person is someone who is not a professional, but you are being trained and you are trying your best. A lay person is someone who is not an expert, who is not specialized, who is not skilled, who is not trained, mercy, who is not certified or licensed. I mean, how many of you are certified shepherds? Yeah, none of us, we are shepherds. All right, but none of us are certified or licensed or trained. But God has blessed us. God has given us the chance. That's why last week we read in the Bible, it tells us in the Bible that many are called. Yeah, many people are called. So all of us here today are called. Rachel, you are called. Elizabeth is called. Olivia, I see you joined us. It's a blessing. You are called. If you are here in this church today, it means that you are called. Yeah, that is the reason why God has pointed you out. It means that you are called. Amen. So jumping into the message, if we can turn our Bibles, please, or turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. The title for today, once again, is How to Work Hard for a Megachurch. How to Work Hard for a Megachurch. So what is a megachurch? Yeah, as I'm saying the title, what is a megachurch, you may be wondering. A megachurch is a church that has many people in it, and by many, there is no clear-cut number. Yeah, no clear-cut number, but it's that we must have people in the church. A megachurch is a church that is working on growing. A megachurch is a church that is person X-orientated. Now, what is person X? Person X is someone who is not known by the church. Yeah, we all are not known by the church. Someone who is not known by the church is a person ex-orientated church. There are some people here, or there are some people who should be here who we, the church, don't know. Some of you have individual friends and individual people in your lives that maybe like you keep them from the church in a certain way, or you keep your church life from them in a certain way. Mercy. Yeah, but a person ex-orientated church means that we are concerned with those people. We are concerned with the others people, the other people out there. Amen. So how to work hard for a mega church? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible tells us, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid. You can interchange the word elders here for shepherds, for pastors, for teachers, for anyone, right? It can be a shepherd, or even be a Christian, you see. But it says, so let's change it to shepherds, right? Shepherds who do their work well should be respected and paid well. Wow. Shepherds who do their work well. The first thing, or the first way to become a mega church, or how to work hard for a mega church, is to do our work well. There's a way to do our work well as people here in First Love Church, Delaware. When we call ourselves shepherds of the church, when we call ourselves people who are inviting, who are reaching out, there's a way to do it well. There's a way to operate and do it well. And there's a way to not do it so well. Yeah, there's a way to not do it so well. Last week, I was meeting with some people on Sunday, and we were learning about the type of shepherds that should be cut off. Like, we were learning about some people that should no longer be shepherds. One of the types of shepherds is people who don't do the work from their heart. Yeah, we'll get there today. Amen. Especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. Those who what? Work hard at both preaching and teaching. Yeah, when you are a shepherd in church, you know, you might think that you can't preach. You might think that you can't teach, or that you can't talk to others. There is, you know, I want to invite all of us to every Wednesday night, we have a weekly center meeting being led by a different shepherd in the church. And there are some shepherds in the church who lead those Wednesday night center meetings who never thought they could preach, who never thought they could preach to a group of 10 people they could never imagine it. Yeah, how many of you imagined it that you could actually practically be doing it? Yeah, many of them never imagined it, but now they are doing it, and they are working hard at it, and they are preparing. Like, it's like they prepare and they go and lead the conversation, they go and preach and help us and teach us something. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, please. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. So God has given each of us his grace. How many of you can see the grace of God working in your life at times? How many of you can see it? Yeah. Paul says here in the Bible, it says that the grace was given to me not without effect. So we must see the effect of the grace. Yeah, the grace that you are being given from God, the grace that you can tell that there's something different about you or something different about your life. We should see the effect of it. Yeah, we should see it. Paul says that it was given to me not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yeah, he worked harder than all of them, but it wasn't because of his hard work that you saw the effect. It was because of the grace. It says, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Amen. So the grace of God is what allows you to work hard. Yeah. So one of the main prayer topics you should have, you know, this is a message for shepherds. Yeah, I believe I'm preaching to shepherds. This is really a message for shepherds. And the Bible tells us that, but the grace of God that was with me. Yeah, but the grace of God that was with me. You must pray. One of our main prayer topics as Christians or as shepherds is pray for the grace of God. Yeah, pray for the grace of God. Paul says that the grace of God that was with me, the grace of God can be with some people and not with other people. Just because you are a Christian, don't assume you have God's grace. Wow. Yeah, just because you are a Christian, don't assume that it's like you automatically are given the grace, or you automatically are given guidance. No, you have to pray and ask for it. It has to be with you, like the way it was with Paul. Amen. So the first way to work hard for a mega church is you work hard by using the most fruitful work hours. Yeah, you work hard by using the most fruitful work hours. So what are the most fruitful work hours for church work? It is Sundays. So Sundays are for church. Yeah, Sundays are not for you know, family time, are not for time with friends, are not time to make plans. Sundays are for church. And if you call yourself a shepherd, it means that Sundays are time to be working on the church. Yeah, Sundays are the time to be working on our church. We should, the church should be on our minds on Sunday. We should be thinking about the church, what we can do with the church, what, where are we supposed to be going? Yeah, the Bible says that without a vision, my people perish. You know, it's like we should be having a vision in mind of where our church is supposed to be headed, where we're supposed to be taking it. Amen. Number two, work hard by spending a lot of time on the church. Yeah, work hard by spending a lot of time on the church. Yeah, we must spend a lot of time on the church. Yeah, that, which is why, you know, we have, think about the week that we have in the church. Sundays is obviously for church. There was a group of people who maybe a few weeks ago or about a month ago, we would have Sunday church service like this by 12. And then after Sunday church service, we would join shepherds meeting after. And then in the nighttime, maybe around 7:30 or 7, there would be a 3-hour, maybe 4-hour meeting with Bishop Henry, and they would join. Now you think about it, your whole Sunday's been taken up with church. Yeah, but in order to have a mega church, in order to learn what it takes to have to be a part of a mega church, you must spend a lot of time on the church. Amen. The next one, work hard by working from your heart. Yeah, you must work hard for a mega church by working from your heart. Anyone who calls himself a shepherd and isn't working from their heart, and isn't really involved in the work of God from their heart. Maybe you're doing it for show, or maybe you're doing it to impress others, or maybe you're doing it to make yourself feel good. You shouldn't be a shepherd anymore. Like the title shepherd should be taken away from you. It should be cut off from you because you are not really involved. If you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and because of my chains, this is the Apostle Paul writing. And he said, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Verse 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. Wow. Yeah, some people preach out of envy and rivalry. Some people are shepherds out of envy and rivalry. Some people want to start centers and what centers out of envy and rivalry. So that's why, you know, we shouldn't pay attention too much to numbers. We shouldn't be too overly focused and concerned, not just with our numbers, but with other people's numbers. Yeah, and this is something that, you know, I had to even teach myself. Because sometimes you can hear some numbers and it's like you become stressed. You can hear some numbers and it's like you have to encourage yourself. And you see, that's why I am saying we shouldn't be concerned with other churches' numbers. We can focus on our own numbers. We can focus on how we are doing. Yeah, that's very important. But to focus on other people's numbers, you very quickly get into where this verse is going. You very quickly get into a place where it's like you're preaching or you're doing the church work, not from your heart, but from a place of envy and rivalry. Yeah, because the Bible says, but others out of goodwill. Yeah, so some people do it from their heart, from goodwill. The latter do so out of love. Those who work for God out of the goodwill of their heart, they do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Verse 17. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition. Don't preach or become a center leader or become a shepherd because it's like you want other people to put you on high, or you want to be respected, or you want to be viewed highly. You want people to really respect you and view you as this great person. You shouldn't do that, because the Bible tells us that not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. And verse 18, please. But what does it matter? So whether you preach out of a goodwill or you preach out of envy and rivalry, it says that what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. So you see, if you are preaching from rivalry, or you are preaching from envy, or you begin a center because you want to have a bigger center than someone in another branch, what really is going to happen is that God will allow you to do what you are doing. He'll allow you to open your center. He'll allow you to have people every week. You meet the people. Everything will work like normal. But to God, the important thing is that Christ is being preached. Not that you have a center of 15 and somebody in another branch has a center of 6. So it's like, wow. No, what is important is that Christ is being preached. Yeah, and the Bible says, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. Amen. So the important thing to remember when you are beginning to work for the Lord, and as we are all calling ourselves shepherds and working for God, is that Christ is to be preached. The important thing is that we should be preaching Christ. We shouldn't be envious or jealous. We must be able to become content where we're at. Yeah, we must be able to become happy where we're at. You know, sometimes you can look at some of the bigger branches in First Love, and you might think to yourself that, oh, like where I'm at, I'm not happy. Or maybe where I'm at isn't where I should be. But no, where you are at is where God has for you at this time. Yeah, the place you are at today is where God has for you at this time. The Bible says that those who are faithful with little shall be given more. So as you are faithful, as you are coming Sunday after Sunday, as you join each week for center service, when we have an event like game night or movie night, or we do something, you are a part of it, you will see that gradually you will be given more. You in your personal life will be given more because of the fact that you are being faithful with little. Amen. The next way to work hard for a mega church is work hard when you have no overseer. Yeah, work hard when maybe I am not around, or maybe I cannot give you the best direction on what to do. Work hard when you don't need me to be attached to you. Yeah, we need maturity. Really, really honestly, what we need to work for God and to work for him well is we need maturity. We need to become mature Christians. We need to become people who are mature in the way we move, mature in our actions, mature in our words, mature. We cannot stay at the same place for a while. At some point, you must grow. At some point, you must develop. At some point, you must change. Yeah, when you call yourself a shepherd and you are young, I think there's a verse in 2 Timothy. Let's read it. I don't think we have it, but something is telling me that we should read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I think is verse 12. Or it's 1 Timothy, sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Yeah, verse 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. The Bible says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Yeah, but set an example for believers in speech. So you see, to set an example for someone in speech, you must be mature. To set an example for someone in conduct, the way you carry yourself, you must be mature. To set an example for other believers in love, the way you show love, you must be mature. To set an example for other believers in your faith, you must be mature. And lastly, to set an example for other believers in purity, you must be mature. Yeah, to be a mature Christian is found in these four or five things here. It is someone who can show other believers how they should act in speech, how they should act in the way they carry themselves, how they should show love to other people, how they should carry their faith, how they should exercise and practice their faith. And then lastly, how should they live in a pure way? How should they be pure, basically? Yeah, as young, and it says that, and this is Paul, you know, Paul is writing to his son in the ministry, Timothy. And this is what he was telling him. And if you read the full chapter, Paul was actually leaving Timothy. Like he was leaving him somewhere and Paul was going somewhere else. And he was instructing him on what to do. And this is what he told him to do. He said, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Yeah. So don't look down on yourself maybe because you are young, because you're only 18 or 19 or only 20 or 21 or 22. Don't let someone look down on you because it's like, or you shouldn't look down on yourself and think, oh, maybe I can't really be the best shepherd I can be now. No, you should be the best shepherd you can be right now. At 18, you can be a very good shepherd. At 19, you can be a very good shepherd. You know, you guys, I respect you guys a lot because when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 20, I couldn't be a shepherd. My mind wasn't on the church enough at that age to be a shepherd, to be in the church in a certain way, to check on people, to bring people to church. I wasn't there at that time. So I really respect you guys when I see you guys. Amen. But so we need maturity to work. You must be able to work without an overseer, be able to work without me being present. Yeah, but if you turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 27, verse 9, as we close. Acts 27 and verse 9, it says, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already past, Paul admonished them, verse 10. and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only of the landing. So Paul, for those of you, maybe this is your first time reading this, the apostle Paul was going on a journey or a voyage, I guess, with the other disciples or the other apostles, right? They were on a boat. Go back to verse 9. It says that when sailing was now dangerous. So they were on a boat and they were sailing in the water and it had become dangerous, you see? Yeah, and it's at verse 10. And Paul said that, and he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive. He perceived. He just had a feeling. He just had something that was telling him. He just knew. Sometimes don't you just feel like maybe you just know this thing we're doing, we shouldn't be doing. How many of us sometimes, like, you just know? Some of us, we call it our gut, or we call it like, yeah, we call it our gut. Most of the time, that's what we refer to. I've heard women also refer to it as woman's intuition. Yeah, it's like just a feeling you have. And Paul had a feeling. He said, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Mercy. So Paul was telling the guys that this thing we are doing, I have a feeling that we are going to essentially die if we continue on this voyage. And verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Mercy. So what we need, if we go back to verse 10, what we need to be mature or to be able to work hard without an overseer is we need to be able to perceive things. What we really need to work hard without an overseer is we need the Holy Spirit. Yeah, when Paul said, you know, I perceive, he was saying that basically God had spoken to him, that the Holy Spirit had spoken to him. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's not in a fantastic way. It's not in a wild and a big imaginative way. Maybe you see an angel comes down and says, I am angel this and that. No, sometimes it's just a feeling. Sometimes that gut feeling you have that maybe I shouldn't do this class, but this class, or maybe I shouldn't do this major, or maybe I shouldn't talk to this boy or this girl. It's just a feeling, but it's really the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And unfortunately, most of the times we can't listen to it. Yeah, most of the times we don't listen to it because we think it's just a feeling. If you go to verse 11 says something there. It says that what? The centurion believed the master, because many times people can't understand that a feeling is really the Holy Spirit. Most 90% of the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is just a feeling. Most of the time when you pick someone to marry, it's a feeling. I'm telling you, Marzi, it's just a feeling. When you pick someone to say that you want this person to be your beloved, it's a feeling. It is not like the Holy Spirit has come down and spoken to you and said, this boy or this girl. No, you just have a sense of certainty, a sense of assurance, if you will. And in verse 10, Paul was saying that, listen, this thing we are doing, he had a feeling. He said, I perceive that the voyage will be with hurt. So what you need to be able to work hard without an overseer, or to work hard without my presence, you see, to be able to work hard without my presence being around, is you need to be able to listen to that voice. You need to be able to, when you perceive that you want to go on the First of Delaware Instagram and do something, you should do it. Because many times that voice is not like you just feel bored and you just want to go on Instagram. The voice is the Holy Spirit telling you to do something. So you should just do it. Yeah, don't have to wait for me to give a response. Just feel free and do it. If you want to outreach to someone, do it. If you want to follow up with someone, do it. If you want to invite someone to church, do it. Because what we need to work hard for our mega churches, we each need to have, you know, the Spirit in us. We each need to be able to hear the Spirit. Amen. And then lastly, the last way to work hard for a mega church is working hard by cheerfully doing the same things over and over again. Yeah, cheerfully. Key word is what? Cheerfully. We must be able to cheerfully do the same things over and over again. You must be able to pray again. You must be able to read your Bible again, to read the same book twice, to fast again. You know, every month we have fasting and praying that we do in the church. It's usually the first Tuesday of every month. We fast on the Tuesday. And this week, we fast this past Tuesday. And this week when we were fasting, you know, I was reading through the prayer points and I was like, wow, these points are, something is different about these points. Like, it's like the points are very powerful this week. You know, let me read them to you. As I was reading them, I was even like, wow, like very spiritual points. And sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes we need something different. We need to pray more, to have more energy to fast or have more energy to pray. When I saw that it was like this Tuesday we were fasting, I didn't have the most energy to fast, if I'm being honest with you. I wasn't enthused. I wasn't like, ooh, I can't wait for Tuesday. I was very regular. I was almost nonchalant about it. But let me read you the fasting points because I was really blessed to even pray with these points. The first point is pray God will help you dedicate your time to develop your relationship with him. Wow. Pray you'll experience the presence of God during your quiet time. Wow. Pray for an increase of the knowledge of scriptures. Pray against the inability to pray for at least 1 hour a day. Yeah, pray against the inability to pray for it. How many of us can pray 1 hour every single day? Yeah, it's something that you actually have to pray against, the inability to pray for at least 1 hour every day. Pray against the inability to worship God. Wow, many people can't really worship God, even in your own home. Even in the comfort of your own home, you can't put on a worship song and speak with God and have quiet time, just you and him. Many people can't. And then the last one really touched me. It said, pray against the lack of interest in Christian books and podcasts. Yeah, the lack of interest. Like, this point really blessed me and it helped me, because that is why I couldn't have been a shepherd when I was 18 or 19, because it was a lack of interest. It wasn't that I wasn't in the church or I didn't have the exposure to it. It was the lack of interest. And some of us, the reason we're not developing is the lack of interest. We don't have an interest in the messages. We don't have an interest in the books. We don't have an interest in the podcast. You know, our pastor, our leader here in First Love Church North America, he always says, Bishop Henry, he always says, when you're listening to him, he always says that everyone should have a personal camp. Everyone should have a personal book you're reading. And it's so true. But it's a lack of interest that keeps you from having a camp. It's a lack of interest that keeps you from having, what Christian book are you listening to? What Sunday podcast message are you currently listening to? Yeah, and I think, you know, we must get to a place where we can pray against that. We can pray against the lack of interest in these things, and I believe we'll be blessed. Amen. But back to the message. Work hard by cheerfully doing the same things over and over again. Yeah, hard work many times seems boring. It seems boring. It seems like it's repetitive. Yeah, the Bible says that we should not get tired of doing spiritual things. So I want to encourage us that when we're having meetings again, today after church, we'll have another shepherd's meeting. When we're praying together again, when we're doing another swollen Sunday, when we're reaching out to people again, I want to encourage us to do so cheerfully, to keep in mind whom we are doing it for, right? Keep in mind the person we are doing. You're not doing it for me. You're not even really doing it for yourself. You're doing it for God, the person whom you say that you love, and the person you say who saved you, that's who we're doing it for. And I want you to keep that in mind as we are going through and as we are building our mega church. You know, you have to believe that First Love Delaware, one Sunday, we'll get on here and we'll have 50 people here. I have to say amen. You have to believe that we'll join here. There'll be 50 actual participants there next to the Zoom. Yeah, you have to believe that when we move to church in person, like at some point, our church will be so big that we'll run out of room. Well, like, we'll need to find a new space, or we'll need to organize the chairs. See, these things I'm saying is like, it sounds like a joke, but it actually will happen practically. You'll see that we'll get to church on a Sunday and it's like, we don't have space. So the problem is that people have to stand up in church, and we now need to begin a project to find a new place to meet. Amen. It will happen practically. Amen. Let's just have a few moments of prayer. Pray for yourself as we close. I believe we can have the prayer soundtrack being played, but pray for yourself for the next 5 minutes, the next 3 minutes or so, 3 to 5 minutes. Just pray for yourself. Pray for the spirit of revelation. You know, pray that God will keep this word on building a mega church. Pray that God will keep it in your heart, that it will stay down in your heart. Just pray for yourself. Pray for revelation. Pray that God will grant you the spirit of revelation, that this word will be deep down, will be used deep down in your heart. Amen. Father God, I pray, God, for the spirit of revelation. God, I pray, God, that you will open the eyes of my understanding with this message from today. God, help me, God, to be successful in building a mega church. Help me to work hard. Lord, may I not grow tired of doing spiritual things. May I not be a Christian that grows tired of doing spiritual things. Lord, help me, oh God, to use this message again. To use this message again, Lord. Help me, Father God. God, may the devil not come and steal today's message from my heart. May it be planted, oh God. May the message of today be planted, oh God. May I know how to work hard for a mega church. May I be confident in my ability to preach and to teach. Oh God, help us, oh God, to build a mega church. Lord, your word says that those who are faithful with little shall be given more. As we have been faithful with little, God, bless us with more. As we have been faithful with little, oh God, help us to be increased. Help us, oh God. As we've been faithful with little, God, help us, oh God. May we not stay at the same level. Rather, God, may we increase, God. May we increase. Lord, bring out the people, oh Lord. Bring out the people, oh God. Bring out the people unto us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to be successful in our effort, God. Help us, oh God, as we are doing the work from good motives, oh God. From good motives, oh God. From good motives, oh God. We are preaching Christ. We are preaching, we are teaching, we are reaching out, we are shepherding, oh God. Help us, oh God, with this message, oh God. May the message of how to work hard for a mega church be planted. Help it to be planted in our hearts, oh Lord. Father God, may we be increased. May we not stay the same, oh God. Masakareba, basakarema, balamba, balamba, balaba, kareba. Yes, Lord. Bashalaba, kareba, ba, bakareba, ba, randaba, malaraba. Malaraba, Karibaba, Balaraba, Ranama, Karibaba, Basi Karibaba, Si Kariba, Le Baba, yes, God, yes, Father God. I pray against a lack of interest, oh God, a lack of interest in shepherding. Lord, your word says that many are called, many are called. As we've been called, oh God, I pray against a lack of interest, a lack of interest in the church, a lack of interest in praying, a lack of interest in our quiet times, oh God. I pray against a lack of interest, oh God. May we be Christians who have an interest in you, a true interest in you. Pray for yourself to have an interest, a true motive. Basi anama karibaba radaba maba sanama sanama kariba. Shalaba, sekarimama, sekarimama, sekarimama. Yes, God, just pray for yourselves for two more minutes. We're just praying for yourselves. Pray for yourselves that God will help you. God will help you with a genuine interest, a genuine interest in His work. Ba la ba sekaribaba, de ba ba sekaribaba, se anama, la ba ba sekariba, ba de kariba, ba kariba, ma la kariba, ba sekaribaba. Re ba 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 ra da ba ba si ka re ba ba re ya na ma ka re ba ba si ka re ba re ya da ba. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Help us, O God, help us, O Lord. Help us, O God, help us, O Lord. Masha Kariba, help this word to be planted in our hearts, O God. May this word not spring out. After some time, may it not spring out, O God. After offenses, O God, may it not spring out. May we remember, O God, what it means to be a shepherd, how to work hard for a mega church, how to not stay at the same place, O God. I pray against a lack of interest, O God, in your word, in praying, in fasting, in messages, in podcasts, O God. I pray against a lack of interest. Anyone who finds it difficult to pray, anyone who finds it difficult to listen to messages, Lord, I cancel it, oh God. I pray against that inability, that lack of interest, oh God. Help us, oh God, to become stronger. Help us not to stay at the same place. Help us not to stay at the same place, oh God. May our faith increase. May our faith increase. Our faith, oh God, our faith, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you'll help us. Help us, oh Lord, help us. Make haste to help us, Lord, as you help David, oh God. Make haste to help us. Hear our voices. Hear our voices. Just one more minute. Just one more minute. Basha kariba. Ma la raba. Basi kariba. Rana ma. Re ya raba. Yes, Lord. Basi karima ma. Si karima. Rada ba. Basayana ma. Basayana ma. Kada ma. Karima. 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 Hear our voices, O God. Hear our voices, O God. Hear our voices, O God. Hear our voices. Incline your ear to our voices. Incline your ear to us, O Lord. Oh, yes. Basha Kareba. The mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We give you all the thanks. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow, what a blessing. So at this time, I want to introduce or welcome, you know, a